This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Yaku, and thank you to the band, and thank you to everyone who shared some words this morning. It's really wonderful to be here, and especially all of you guys. You could have been somewhere else this morning, a long weekend. You could have been in bed, maybe, soaking it all in, but you are here this morning, and we're very thankful to have you all with us here in the presence of the Lord. I just want to, this morning, quickly want to give Tian an opportunity. And Tian has just a testimony in his heart that he wants to share with us, and then also Lazar, you can also share with us just a testimony on your heart. Tian is one of our ECs. Our ECs are the guys that are here early in the mornings, and they're about first year, just with the sound guys and the band, and they're the last to leave as well. Amazing group of people doing an incredible amount of work. So I just want to do a promotion for them. We need some more ECs. And we need some more guys. Just once every 5-6 weeks or so can just come to help us and unlock and lock up again. But Tian, I want to honor you as well, and thank you, my brother, for all your hard work. Bless you.
Last week, the Lord just put a testimony on my heart that I just felt convicted to, or encouraged to share this morning. Start of this year, we had a discussion with a friend, and the friend just told me, you know what, Tian, when you pray, just ask Jesus what's on his heart, and just pray into that. Just wait for him until he speaks to you or shows you something, then just pray into that. And for this last 4 months or so, I've really been trying to do this. And 3 months ago, I received got a picture of a friend, or more of a Guinness. I don't see him often. And I just saw this guy just laying on the ground, and there's lots of arrows and axes, like battle axes, in his back. He's really not in a good place. And on his leg, there was a chain just holding him back. And I prayed for him, and I prayed, and I asked the Lord, Lord, please come and break this chain. Please come and bring healing. And the Lord told me, no, he's not going to, that the power is with him. He needs to stick out his hand to the body of Christ, and he will be set free, and he will be healed. I'm like, okay, Lord, and I pray. And eventually I feel like I send him an email, and I just shared the word with him. And the email came back and said, yes, no, I think it's spot on. And as it happened, we actually saw him a few weeks later, and we could really see that the sparkle in his eyes was like gone. And we chatted, and he didn't share too deep, but he just said, yeah, a few things happened, and he's not in the best place. But even though we invite him for coffee or whatever, he still didn't want to respond at all. So coming back a few mornings, I really felt that the Lord said pray for him, so I prayed for him. And instead of just praying against this chain and praying against all the battle axes, I prayed for what the Lord has, that I would have done always. Because that was, I'm an intercessor. Lord, show me something the enemy is busy with, and I try and fight it. But it gets tiresome. You wear yourself out, and you don't see that much fruit. You actually lose hope to some big extent. So I just started praying, Lord, please help this man to stick out his hand to the body of Christ, for you said then he'll be healed. And I saw him 2 weeks back, and 3 months ago they started going to church again, him and his wife, and it's a different person. And he told me 3 weeks ago, everything just changed. The Lord just touched him in his inner room, and he's completely healed, and he's excited, and he's just going for it. So I just want to ask every one of you, what gifts do you have from the Lord? What has he instilled in each one of you? And do we see ourselves as our brother's keeper? Do we really see ourselves as the one that's got the piece of living bread, that's got this word, that's got the bit of seed to give? Like the friend that told us, listen, but don't just pray what the Lord is showing. Ask him more about it. Ask what you should pray. That was a discipling for me. And it's just bringing fruit on fruit. So I want to ask you, what spiritual gifts do you have? What gifts of the Father do you have? And do you really walk in it? And do you ask the Lord? If you've got the gift of hospitality, do you invite people over, trusting that there'll be impartation of just the love of God in just sharing a meal together and just being hospitable to them? Do you really trust the Spirit of God to move in your daily life, just as you walk, and just have a focus and intention just to bless others and to see the kingdom come?
Yeah. Morning, church. I just felt I needed to share testimony. It's really in line with where our church finds itself at the moment. Yes, I have a friend, but I see him a long time ago. And recently, he's been going through a really tough time. Since I got saved 2 years ago, he distanced himself a lot from me because my life and his life is really different. So he distanced himself from me and broke all contact and stuff. And 3 weeks ago, he messaged me and asked me for help, just like, I need your help. And I was really like, yo, but because I've spoken to him like 3 years, 2 years ago, and and he opened up, he sent a voice note, and he really opened up towards me about how broken he was and how much he made a mess of his life. And the Lord opened a door for me where I could have ministered and speak truth into his life. Where the enemy came and bring guilt, shame, and condemnation over his life, I could have spoken truth into his life and what the Lord felt on his heart for him. And he was really acceptive of what I shared. And I told him that there's only healing and life through Jesus. It's the only way he could get healing. His heart's going to stay broken the rest of his life if he don't commit his whole life to the Lord. And he was really acceptive of what I shared. And I was so shocked of how the Lord could have moved someone's heart with just a few words that you speak. And it just showed me that no matter what you say, it's the Lord moving in someone's heart. Now, you can say all the right or wrong words, it's the Lord who's moving and the Holy Spirit who's moving through that person. And he was so acceptive of the word. And last Sunday, he messaged me. He told me that he responded to an altar call at church, and he gave his heart back to the Lord. And yeah, that's just so amazing. And I just want to share a scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7, that was so van toepassing op dit. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. So it was so van toepassing op dit. And also in this season of this month of prayer and fasting, the 3 points that Angel said last 2 weeks ago on the video, the sound of the lost sheep, the sound of the seeking shepherd, the sound of rejoicing. He was a lost sheep. He was in a thorn bush stuck, and he called out for help to his father. And the Lord reached out to him. The shepherd found him, and now he's on the right path. So praise Jesus.
Thank you, Lazar. Thank you, Lazar and Tian, and the band, and the intercessors, amal. It's just amazing the synergy. You know, all these testimonies, all these words flowing together, and God is saying the same thing to us. And, you know, very often it happens that we as preachers, we feel a little bit superfluous almost in a sense that God can speak through anyone. Amen. And that in the New Testament, we understand that he's put his spirit in everyone. And when we come together, we have got words and we've got testimonies and gifts and things the Lord has placed in our hearts. And when we share that, there's this golden thread that God weaves together. That no man can put together. None of the testimonies beforehand were orchestrated, and the words even the guys brought about hope, about us becoming lifesavers for someone else, reaching out to someone else, sending that WhatsApp, sending that email, praying that prayer, saying, how are you doing? All of those things is God is weaving that together, and he's stirring hope in hearts again. And I think Yaku also had the sense of hope that the Lord is just wanting to stir. And so that's actually what I want to preach on this morning. And I had a conversation earlier in the week with a friend of mine, and she's working in schools. She's got a school curriculum for some modules that she's rolling out in Gauteng. But it's basically centered around learner education, learner support, but also just working with a whole bunch of educators. And she had a whole bunch of headmasters gathered together, heads of departments in Gauteng. And the government is busy with rolling out some new material as well. And whilst they were speaking to these educators, she asked them, how many of you guys have hope for where you are right now? And so like nobody put up their hands. They are overwhelmed. The conditions they're having to teach in, the young people's lack of discipline, the lack of support, all of those things are just like flooding through our schools, in many of our schools, like an avalanche, and that people feel hopeless. I think it was yesterday or the day before, the newspaper, one of the Afrikaans newspapers, mentioned about the assistance to the farmers in many parts of the Western Cape that is run dry and that's stopping. There's a sense of hopelessness. At intercession on Monday, we were speaking about many of our businessmen in our community who are really struggling. And if you have work, you are blessed to have work. Many teenagers committing suicide because of hopelessness, just a sense of, I cannot continue to go on like this. And the Bible has a lot to say about hope, and we're busy speaking to one another around our hearts, having heart-to-heart conversations, and yeah, we've been chatting to one another about the fact that God really isn't so much interested in the things that many people would judge man by. Very often people will judge us by the car that we drive or the cell phone. I think for many young people, the cell phone that you have or the smartwatch that you wear or the shoes that you wear or the house that you stay in or in some cultures, the amount of kids that you have or you don't have. All sorts of external things that people use to judge us on. And when we meet someone, we obviously also tend to ask them, so what do you do? You know, and almost inevitably, it is what you do gives me sort of a picture of who you are, and then I rank you a little bit subconsciously, you know, because if you're doing this, then you must have had this kind of degree or experience. This is a subconscious thing, but mankind in general is focused on the externals. And if we as a community want to grow into becoming those lifesavers, so to speak, we know that Jesus is the ultimate lifesaver, but he trains and he equips us to be at the right place at the right time, to extend life and hope to other people, then we need to be able to look beyond the externals. And I think one of the big things in our current environment, which is a massive challenge but a massive opportunity, is that we live in an environment void of hope. We live in an environment where people are getting more and more frustrated. And in Scripture, I'm going to read for us a couple of verses, and here and there I'm going to read from the Afrikaans a little bit as well. And actually, a lot of this was just dropped into my spirit as I was preparing for the wedding of Neil and Christine. They had a beautiful wedding on Friday. And it was just such an encouragement, a massive encouragement to me, these two beautiful people, like in their mid, late 40s, getting married. And it was just like such a celebration. I don't know how many of you guys know Neil, but Neil spoke for about almost 5 minutes. Huh? Like almost 10 minutes. It was just like everybody's mouths just hung open. And just like, even his brother-in-law said he's never heard Neil speak so many words. So it was just amazing, such an encouragement to see these two people who have been living their own lives for a long time, coming together and God weaving their lives together. And the whole theme of hope really resonated inside of me in that they had to live with a sense of delayed hope, disappointed hope for a long time, and yet they managed to keep that hope. And then things came together for them in that area of their lives. And Spreuke 13 vers 12 in die Nuwe Lewende Vertaling sê dit as volg: verwagtinge wat nie realiseer nie, lei tot mismoedigheid. Nee, verwagtinge wat nie realiseer nie, lei tot mismoedigheid. En as mens daai woord mismoedigheid opbreek, mis is mos nie, heid is maar nie die naamwoord daarso aan die agterkant, agtervoegsel, en in die middel het jy moedig. You've got courage right there in the middle. And it says, die verwagtinge wat nie realiseer nie, lei tot mismoedigheid. Verwagtinge wat nie waar word nie, steel of beroof ons van ons moed. And so when you lose hope, you actually lose courage. And so you are confronted with a new obstacle, a new challenge, and you are confronted with that challenge, and there's just no courage inside of you. There's no sense that I can do this. And so when we sing a song like there's an army rising up, we know that our battle is not with physical weapons. We know when we talk about an army rising up, God is wanting to raise up an army that will be able to share hope with the lost world. When we talk about an army, we understand that there's a battle, a spiritual battle of light versus darkness, of hope versus hopelessness, of faith versus despair, of love versus hate, of unity versus division and prejudice. And if we are going to move into our environments and really be dispensers of hope, we have to go in there with courage. Because this world isn't an easy place. This world doesn't necessarily roll open the red carpet for us and just say, oh, you have a dream from God, let us make this possible for you. Let us give you all the money that you need. Let us give you all the resources that you need. Let us high-five you and tell you how amazing you are. We believe you are the head and not the tail. We see greatness inside of you. You can do this. I just sense that you are world changer, destiny shifter. You can do this. It's rare that the world in general does that for us. We as a faith community can do that for one another. We can encourage one another in that way. So when we leave here, we can go into an environment and not be shaped by that environment, but shape the environment. Amen. We can exert an influence. But the world is hostile to that kind of faith. The newspaper certainly, I don't know how often you've read the newspaper, and it's just like, good news, front page. You know, we've made it. I can't remember what I read the other day. It's like in the sports somewhere, sports section. What was it? Springboks won late last night. They won, indeed. Yes, there was good news. But there's some other good thing that happened, and it was tucked away somewhere, you know, in the back of the newspaper. And I'm like, just like it, good news just doesn't sell, does it? It's the bad stuff that sells. And we have to get into the opposite spirit. And I believe God calls his people to be people of hope, to go into impossible situations and to have hope in our hearts. And I believe it's a massive opportunity that God gives us. And the second part of that verse says, a begeerte wat vervul word is soos a boom wat lewe gee. For the other Afrikaanse vertaling, a uitgestelde hoop maak die hart siek. We're talking about heart-to-heart conversations. A uitgestelde hoop maak die hart siek, maar a wens wat uitkom is a levensboom. So on the one hand, you have this, let me read the English as well, sorry guys. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Another translation says, delayed hope makes the heart sick, but fulfilled desire is a tree of life. So you've got a lack of courage, you've got a heart that is sick, and thinking about Neil, and he's a runner, and I'm like secretly training, as all of you guys know. One of these days, put my stuff on Strava, right? But I'm secretly still training, and I wanna run with Neil as well. And he's apparently a massive, it's a legend as far as running is concerned. By the way, I want to start a running club, Paul. Ek sien daai hand, broer, ek gaan my join, hè. So bietjie saam hardloop. But in order for you to run and to run the race well, you need a strong heart. You need a healthy heart. And we know that in our Christian life, we are in a race. Paul says that I run the race to win. Ons is in 'n wedloop betrokke. And for us to be the people God has called us to be, we need to move. We need to move forward. And to move forward, we need a strong heart. But our hope, if our hope gets delayed, one translation says, a crushed hope leads to a crushed heart. All of us, I think, in this room have had experiences where you have had a word, or you had a hope, or you had an expectation, and then that expectation doesn't come to pass. And then the question is, how will I react to that? And there is a way in which we can react that our hearts actually grow sick. Our hearts grow weary, we lose our courage, and then it is very difficult to be in a marriage or to be in a work environment or to be in a school environment and to look at the circumstances around you and to say, man, this thing can change. Like God has placed me here with giftings as an educator, as a parent who's involved with my kids at school. God placed my kids in a specific school, not just so they can get educated, but so we can make a difference, so we can shift the environment. But it's difficult to believe that if your hope is crushed. It's difficult to believe that tomorrow can be different than today if your hope has been delayed. And that's why I believe when the song comes this morning and says he wants to break every chain, one of the chains he wants to break are the chains of hopelessness. He wants to break it over our hearts so we can go into environments believing those environments can change. So we at Beaumont, we have an opportunity now. The Western Cape government has asked Beaumont School to be a mentor school for another school in the Cape Flats, where the governing body consists of two domestic worker ladies. Two domestic workers. They are the governing body, and they are inundated and flooded with chaos around them. That school needs hope. That school needs somebody to come alongside them and say, we believe that these things can change. We can make a difference. But it's going to take people of hope. Just throwing money at the thing is probably not going to be the answer. We need people with hope to get involved. And so you have a passion for accounting or for education, please come and chat to me. The opportunities for us to make a difference, but that is where hope needs to go. Hope can't just stay in an environment like this where we sing amazing songs and we encourage each other. We need to take that hope into the Monday, amen? And into the Wednesday, onto the sports field, into the classroom, into the boardroom. But it is difficult for us to do that if we ourselves have lost our hope. And I believe God just wants to come and encourage many of us around that area. The National Institute of Mental Health in the U.S. says that the leading cause of absenteeism in the United States is depression. That's so when your hope gets delayed, gets crushed, something happens to your heart. And that crushed heart, that weak heart, that sick heart very often spills over, not just into a day of feeling, man, I don't know if I can go on like this. But that day becomes a week, that week becomes a month. Something happens on the inside and you lose courage. All of a sudden you just can't face your colleagues at work. All of a sudden you just can't face a difficult client anymore. All of a sudden sleeping in sounds like a great idea. I've got a friend that I'm journeying with, and if he gets up before 11 in the morning, it's a victory. Because his heart is just crushed, and we're journeying through that. And every day, if he gets up half an hour early, it's a victory. We celebrate that. At least it's not 2 o'clock anymore. He's at 11 o'clock. But what's happening, his hope was crushed. He needs a restoration of hope. And for us in the workplace, in the work environment, I think it's important to understand this and to have a look at this. This is what, if you guys think it's just about America, the South African Depression and Anxiety Group made this study in 2016. And it says that 1 in 4 employees has been diagnosed with depression. Right? So if you work in a work environment and there are like 4, 5, 6, 10 people, so 1 in 4 people, in all likelihood, probably you're working with somebody who's struggling with depression. If you, as an employee, were diagnosed with a mental illness, would you feel comfortable disclosing your mental health status to your employer? If you would, you would be only 1 in 6 employees who would be willing to do so, according to a 2017 survey. So there's a great chance that there might even be more people, because just talking about my hope that has been crushed is not something that we do, because we need to have everything together. And then that word comes from Tian, where our healing often lies in just reaching out and saying, I'm struggling. I can't cope with this marriage that's falling apart, or with this dream that I had. By now I'd hoped that my life would be different. It hasn't come to pass yet. And I believe that God places us. Now, ek is baie keer, I'm envious of the work environments you find yourself in. I have to go running or play tennis. I've got to engage with people around me to be around unsaved people. Baie van julle werk met mense wat nie die Here ken nie. And I believe God places us strategically as beacons of hope. Places us around people. And this hopelessness isn't just limited to physical circumstances. Well, it's actually funny or strange, weird, ironic maybe, that you find greater hopelessness very often in very affluent communities. It's weird. Your suicide rates are sky high in countries, first world countries, which seem to have everything together, but there's a hopelessness inside of them. So let's not think that hopelessness always has to do with your physical circumstances. It's an attitude of the heart, something that has happened on the inside and which very few people can notice very often. But I believe that God wants to sensitize our hearts and show us who these people are around us. Like Lazar says, so we can hear the sound of the hopeless. When the WhatsApp comes through and says, I need help. And that's why sharing a testimony is such a beautiful thing, because you never know. You leave something with someone, you leave a book with them, or you leave just a word with them. You never know when that person, 2 years later, will remember there was a Lazarus life that was changed. Or there was somebody that told me that Jesus can fix your marriage. And so I think often we go in there and we want to make a difference and we don't see the results and we can grow discouraged. But continue to sow the seed. Continue to leave the love. Continue to encourage, because the word of God will not return to him void. Matthew 10 verse 42 says it so beautifully. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. And I have this picture just in my mind's eye of us in this season going around and just handing out these cups of water. Little cold cups of water of hope. hope to people around us. Hope to somebody who's battling something on the inside. Hope that will fuel somebody's life again to believe the impossible, to dream those dreams. You know, one of the most heartbreaking things is driving past the men next to the road who's standing in faithful work. And I believe that God wants to use the church to make a physical, tangible difference. You know, people like Neil and them involved in some of the entrepreneurs in Nomzamo. They're giving them practical skills, but more than that, they're giving them hope. Guys, we can come alongside you, and together, we don't just want to give you practical skills, but we believe that you can make a difference. We believe this community can shift, this community can change. And so I believe that God has given us, as we sit in this place, physical skills. There are engineers here, there are teachers here, accountants here, dressmakers. All of those skills are so crucial. But more so than any of those practical skills is the spirit that you carry. And we, by definition, are people of hope because we have Christ, the hope of glory, living inside of us. The resurrected King, the one who has conquered sin, death, and the grave, he lives inside of us. And I believe Romans 5, I want to take you to Romans 5 quickly, lays the foundation for us for this journey of hope. Whereas on the one hand, you can have hope that gets delayed, hope that gets frustrated, and it causes the heart to grow weary. There is a hope the Bible speaks about that does not make us ashamed. And I want to start from verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Because if you look at a weary heart, if you look at a sick heart, a sick heart can become healthy again. Now, praise the Lord, I'm thankful on Friday. I ran my first 10 kilometers in two years' time. My knees were buggered. Many guys prayed for my knees, and I thank God, hallelujah, they're healed. A couple of months ago, I couldn't even walk up the stairs to get to my office. Now I can run. I thank God that he heals, amen? He heals and he restores. But there's also a process that I had to go through. There's a process I had to go through of doing some strength exercises and doing some stretches and training calves and all sorts of muscles that I didn't even know that I had. I had to train those things so that I could strengthen the knees. And I believe that a heart that has lost hope can be brought back to life again by the healer of broken hearts. And I believe that he does it according to a few principles we find in Romans 5 verse 1. First it says, as mense wat deur God vrygespreek is, omdat ons glo, het ons nou vrede met God op grond van wat Jesus Christus ons Here gedoen het. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. I believe that a heart that has lost hope needs to be re-anchored again in the peace that surpasses all understanding. The greatest peace that we can receive is not a physical peace. It's not a circumstantial peace. It is a peace that comes from the fact that we are now right with God. Want baie keer wanneer ons aan depressie ly of ons ly aan 'n hoop wat gebreek is, dan is dit gebreek hoofsaaklik omdat ons hoop op iemand gesit het. We've placed our hope on someone. And we look to someone to come through for us. We look to someone to make something happen for us. Or even we put our faith in God for something physical to happen. And it's important for us to understand that irrespective of what happens on this earth, in these 50 years, 60 years, 80 years that I'm alive, irrespective of that, if I, by faith, have accepted Jesus Christ's sacrifice for me, I am a winner. I've got peace with God that no one can take that away from me. No one. And that's why right throughout the ages, Christianity has thrived in the midst of the most hectic and the most violent persecution. If you want to see Christianity grow, you want to see believers grow, persecute the church. It's as if the devil by now would have learned his lesson. But you can go and read the stats where the persecution is its most intense, the church flourishes. It grows. It cannot be oppressed. It cannot be suppressed. Why? Because the peace of God is not circumstantial. And I think one of the first things we need to do if we want to re-anchor our lives and if we want to have a biblical perspective on life, it is to be aware of the fact that what and who is inside of us can rise above our circumstances. And yes, God wants to heal my knees, and He loves me, and He wants to physically manifest His love towards me. But hey, even if my knees never get healed, I've got peace with God. And I will not allow my sore knees to dictate my joy. A couple of months ago, I might have told the story already, forgive me if I have. My dad went to the ATM, tried to withdraw some money, card got stuck, stepped away to phone the helpline, came back, his card was cloned, bank balance empty. Just like that. Couple of minutes or so. It's not as if they've got a lot of money and all of that was gone. And I'm upset, and we must phone this one and phone that one and mark a bedrog saak and all the bank with the cameras cry and all that stuff. And then I phone my dad, and my dad is like, "Oh, Dad, you sound okay." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm okay. Die duivel het my geld gevat, maar gaan verseker nie my vreugde vat nie." It's a long time ago, I learned that He can take my money, but He can't take my joy unless I allow Him. Why is that? Because He's anchored in a peace with God. That irrespective of what happens, if I'm chopped apart in 1,000 pieces, I've got peace with God. And hopelessness wants to draw our eternal peace into our physical circumstances. I don't know how many of you guys have seen The Cross and the Switchblade, Bruce Wilkinson. He goes to that gang leader's door. And this guy is so frustrated with him because he keeps on coming to him and telling him that Jesus loves him. And it's like, "Preacher man, I'm going to cut you into 1,000 pieces." Takes out this knife, and then he says, "Each one of those 1,000 pieces will say Jesus loves you." There is a courage that comes with understanding. It doesn't matter what this world throws at me, I've got peace with God. And in a Western world, where we are so often focused on the here and the now, it is important, saints, to detach our hope again from the physical and to say, "I've got peace with God. I've been liberated. The creator of the universe loves me. Doesn't just love me, likes me. He's pleased with me. He's excited over me." And then it doesn't matter what my boss thinks. Doesn't even matter what my spouse thinks, because God has spoken justice and freedom over me. So for hope to grow, it needs to be just anchored, get a good dose, goeie inspuiting van vrede. Some of us, I think, just need one of those big, I remember many years ago when Nikki gave birth, they came with that epidural thing. I almost fainted. Have you guys seen the size of that needle? It's just like they put it down the spine. It's massive. But some of us need just an injection of peace. A groot spuitnaald vol vrede. Net vir jou hart. You can say, "I'm going to look at my circumstances, but I'm going to detach my faith from my circumstances and say that, Jesus, come and inject your peace into my heart." And I don't need a little, just a squirt here and there. I need a massive dose of peace. And how do I do that? By just focusing again that I'm saved. I've been set free. The power of sin, death, and the grave has been defeated. That is a miracle. That is a miracle much greater than the Springboks winning the Tri-Nations again after 10 years. It is a miracle. It is gigantic, and no one can take that away from me. And that's why first and foremost, the injection that our world needs, that our classrooms need, and that our businesses need is reconciliation with Christ. We can change all the other things as we did in our country. We can change all the laws, and like many years later, we're still at each other's throats as different races. Why? Because the laws externally don't change the heart. We need to go for the heart. As we engage with people, as we love them, as we work with them, as we journey with them, we need to go for the heart and ask God, "God, what is the key to my brother, to my friend, to my colleague's heart, so that they can be reconciled to you?" Not just get the breakthrough in the business, not just get the thing that they want, but they can be reconciled to you. That's the ultimate prize. That's the ultimate prize. And second place, I believe that verse goes on and says, "Deur Jesus Christus het ons, deur dat ons glo, toegang verkry tot hierdie heerlike posisie van genade, waarin ons nou bevind. En ons jubel vol verwagting oor die heerlikheid wat God aan ons gaan gee." Excuse, ek het die skrifverwysing daarin is Romeine 5 vers 2, die nuwe lewende vertaling. Deur Jesus Christus het ons, deurdat ons glo, toegang verkry tot hierdie heerlike posisie van genade. I love that. We have been brought into this place of undeserved privilege. A heart that has lost hope needs to be reminded again that not through my works, not through my effort, but through my faith in Him, just my trust in His goodness, I've undeserved privilege. Undeserved. That God has got favor for me that has nothing to do with what I have done, simply because of His love for me. It's like heaven's affirmative action. It's got nothing to do with my performance. It is based upon what He has done for me. Undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Remember at the beginning we said that when your expectation of the future gets crushed, the heart grows sick. Wanneer die toekomsverwagting uitgestel word, dan raak ons harte siek. En hier sê die Bybel dat ons, wanneer ons besef, ons is nou in 'n heerlike posisie van genade. When we understand right now, I'm in a greatly privileged position. Now, what happens? We confidently and joyfully look forward. Are you following that? How do I get joyful hope? By understanding that right now, I'm in a privileged position with God. Right now, I've got grace in abundance. Right now, I've got access into this heavenly presence of God. Right now, I can speak to God and God can speak to me. Right now, I've got access into His Word. Right now, I've got the Holy Spirit, my comforter and my empowerer with me. Right now, I've got this privileged position. And when we lose our perspective on where I am right now, because what does a crushed hope environment look like? It's always like I'm living in regret. Ek leef met, hierdie ding het nie gebeur, hierdie ding moes gebeur, this thing should have happened already, it's not happening. And I look forward and I cannot see a way out. And God is the great I am, wants to anchor us in the here and the now again. Says, right now you are privileged. Right now you are privileged. Right now you are privileged. Why? Because you've got the DNA of God upon your life. In the here and the now. Even before anything else has happened. Because of our faith, God has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. I want to encourage you to go and meditate upon that a little bit. Because we have been conditioned to base our lives, our expectation of God upon our performance. So if I'm a good Christian, I'm going to expect God maybe to be good towards me. It's undeserved grace, undeserved privilege, based upon my faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know if there's anyone in the room that knows what this is. Anyone? Jonathan, weet jy wat hier is? It's a brief, right? A letter, yes, with a paar seals op, a couple of seals on it. Now, back in the day, people used to write these things by hand. You would put it, you go to the post office and you would put it in there and it would take a couple of weeks for you to get to the States where I was. And so I carry some of these things around with me still. Because these were letters that my folks wrote to me when I was in the States. And they are more than anything else letters of hope. That they, when I was going through a difficult time, I was in America for a year. And I went to America with this dream to gain all the experience that I could as a teacher, come back and start my own Christian school. And that was my dream. But actually what it was a little bit of Jonah, and Yaku spoke about Jonah last week, because God had called me into ministry. And I knew it at the back of my head. I knew it, but I was going to do my own thing. It's even going to be a good thing, right? Because a Christian school is a good thing. Niemand gaan na my toe kom en vir my sê, jy's van die duivel af. Jy weet, hoekom wil jy Christen school begin? I mean, it's a good thing. But I was running away from the calling of God. And that year in America was a difficult year. It was an incredibly tough year because many of the things that worked for me in South Africa didn't work there. It was physically threatening. It was emotionally dangerous. It was a tough time. And then my folks chose to remind me of words that they got me while I was still in the womb. Things they prayed over me and they wrote me these letters. Letters that they wrote, amongst others, Psalm 27. Where David says, my heart would have lost strength or would have lost hope unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that word carried me, and I could feed upon that. I could meditate upon that. And even though every day going to that school, I feared for my life, literally. Like 3 lessons of 90 minutes with a whole bunch of hooligans. That's what it felt like. Delinquents that came out of prison, and it was just terrible. And I'm used to good South African schools, and they were just like, it was, yes, like it was hectic. And I had to plead the blood of Jesus over my sanity, and I had to go in early and pray for the desks, and I prayed for everything that moved and didn't move, and it just got worse. And I'm like, what's happening to my faith? God, when are you going to change these kids' lives? When are they going to settle down? When will I not have to call in the sheriff to come in, just take them out and put them in time out? And it went on like that for weeks, but the word kept me. The word kept me. God, I would have lost hope unless I'd believed I would see your goodness in the land of the living. He says, God, I'm going to see your goodness. I'm going to see it in this land where I'm in. And I'm standing on that. And God came through for me and started to shift things and change things in the hearts of those kids and did tremendous things there. But you know what? It wasn't so much that they had to change, I had to change. And I realized this was an internal journey that God was busy with. And what crushed hope and a broken spirit wants to do, wants to keep us focused on the externals. And God is saying, but I'm busy working something beautiful inside of you. And it was during that time that I came back and I told the Lord, Lord, right, I know you've called me to be a pastor. I phoned my dad, phoned the headmaster was at the school here in South Africa, phoned a pastor church and said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm realizing God has called me to do. But I would not have been in that place had I not been anchored in the fact that I am a privileged son of God. God has anchored me. I believe that what we also need when it comes to hope, I don't know if you guys, does anybody remember? Let's go back to that slide after that verse I read. Yes, anybody? Do you guys remember the Ray-Bans? Craig, all right? By the way, there's a new Tom Cruise movie coming out, new Top Gun movie coming out. But back in the day when I was growing up, man, if you had glasses like that, yes, like it. Dan was hier die ou, nee? Daai songlase kon enigiets regmaak, kon enige ou transform, maak nie saak hoe jy gelyk het nie, as long as you had that, right? You had a different outlook on life. You had a different perspective, and I believe that hope requires us to have a different perspective on life. We need a new set of lenses if we want to look at our own lives and the lives of those around us. Because verse 3 says, dis echter nie al nie. In ander woorde, ons verheug ons nie in hierdie genade wat ons nou het nie. Dis echter nie al nie. Not only are we rejoicing in the fact that we have undeserved privilege, we look forward to the grace that God will give us one day when we will be with him, like Lucy said, that there will come a day when our faith will become sight, when we will truly experience the manifest presence of Jesus physically as a physical person. And he comes back for us and every tear will be wiped away. There'll be no more crying, no more mourning. Everything will be fixed. We don't just look forward to that. He says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. It's a different perspective, isn't it? It says that instead of running away from situations that challenge our hope, that wants to crush our hope, I go into that. I rejoice in that. I look at the thing that's not working out. I look at the thing that's frustrating me. I look at the thing that is challenging me. I look at the thing that wants to break me. And I tap into a supernatural joy, understanding that this thing is not going to break me. This thing is going to build something inside of me that I'm going to need. I thank God for that year in the States where there was nobody around me. I thank God for that year in the States where I had to, by myself for the first time, I could just be Heinrich, not Heinrich die Dominee se kind of Heinrich die pastoor se kind. I could just be myself and I could sin comfortably if I wanted to. I was looking forward to just getting away from everybody knowing who I am and whose kid I am and just be by myself. And there I realized that my faith, that my folks prayed into me and my mom beat into me with a wooden spoon. That faith was real. That faith kept me standing. That faith had a hold on me. Not so much was I holding on to my faith. My faith was holding on to me. It was real. And I had to learn it. I had to discover it. And I would not have discovered that strength if everything had just worked out from the first moment I walked in there. I had to hold on to God. I had to learn what does it mean to drive home from work and just cry out to God and tap into the power of praise and worship, because if I didn't, I would have driven the car off the bridge. I had to learn what it meant to get to know God face to face. And I wouldn't have if everything had just worked out. And so when we entered into more and more challenging seasons after that, I could fall back on that endurance. Ah, das min dinge so lekker soos muscle memory. If you start getting out there again and something kicks in, you're like, I remember what this feels like. It's all coming back. Why? Because you had trained yourself. Saints, I believe an army that God is raising up is an army in need of endurance. That we are entering into times where God is wanting to release a spirit of overcoming. But it's a spirit that is not going to be subjected to physical circumstances. Something greater inside of us. Endurance. So some of us, I believe, God is wanting to say to you, I want you to have another look at the thing that frustrates you. Put on your Ray-Bans. Look at it through new lenses. Rejoice, because that thing is not going to destroy you. It's going to make you stronger. Onthou enig iemand hierdie oukies. Versterk druppels. The guys remember that spyker balsam. My grandmother had blikkie spyker. It's an ointment that you could use it for anything, right? From sleeplessness to muscles that are sore. If you just, my dad believed it kept the mosquitoes away. You could use that ointment for anything, right? Versterk druppels, jy's ingegooi die spyker balsam het jy aangesmeer. And I believe that God in his word wants, for some of us, wants to give us some versterk druppels. Right? Your heart needs some strengthening. And that is what Romans 5 verse 4 speaks about. The world needs Christian versterk druppels. People with character. The world needs to be around people who will be men and women of their word. And say, when I say I'm going to walk a road with you, I'm going to walk a road with you. There's this scene I wanted to play for us this morning, but we had some challenges with the technology, as you might have noticed. From Lord of the Rings. I think it's the first one. Where Aragorn and Gimli and who's the other guy? Anyway, it feels like I must repent because I watched that. Anyway, these three guys, they go looking for their friends. Okay, they go looking for their friends, and they get into this land, and they're confronted by these horse riders who come, and they were involved in this battle, and it sounds like their friends were killed in this battle. And then they said, we're going to continue to look for our friends. And this entire story with all of the things that go on is actually a story about friendship. The fellowship of the ring. It's about an unbreakable bond between these guys that continue to go look for their friends. In spite of all the forces of darkness released against them, they stay true as a band of brothers. And Tian touched on it this morning. I believe that there's something like that that God wants to release in our midst again. That hope cannot survive by itself. Hope needs to be cultivated. Hope needs to be imparted. Hope needs to be nurtured together. Because in that scene, they say, we will look for our friends. And then this guy tells them, look for your friends, but don't dare to hope, because hope has forsaken these lands. And it's such a powerful picture for me, where many people live, hope has forsaken the land. And I believe God wants to put people of hope, people of character into our land. And so verse 4 says, op sy beurt kweek volharding, betroubaarheid van karakter. En betroubaarheid van karakter versterk ons toekomsverwagting. Endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. When we have endurance, and endurance doesn't happen in 5 seconds, eh? That's not like endurance. Endurance happens over time. Character doesn't drop out of the sky. God gives his gifts to us. We don't earn those gifts. We don't deserve those gifts. Character is something else. I believe God wants to release into this world people with giftings and character. People with giftings and character. Faithful people with the spirit of power upon them. And in order for us to develop that character, there's no shortcut. Ons leef mos in a shortcut wêreld. Nee, alles is vinnig. Al die boodskappe is vinnig op jou foon. Al die kos is vinnig. En alles is quick, quick, quick. You can't fast track character, people. You can't fast track character. That's why older people with stories are so important. We need people with character to impart and not to be silent. So people more advanced in age, please don't be silent. We need your stories of how you had to stand in faith for 5 months, 5 years, 15 years, and you are still praising God and a thing came through. Or maybe it hasn't come through yet, but you are still just as passionate for Jesus as always. As a younger generation, we need that story. You know, my dad, as short as he is, I look up to him because he has got endurance. Many years ago, the Lord laid it on his heart to start giving some of his cars away. He's given a couple of vehicles away, and he's always put up a picture against his wall about a car that he's standing in faith for. And I said, high school, primary school, remember, from Beaufort West, Uppington, he was just standing in faith for this car. It's like 50 years. 2 years ago, somebody blessed him with a brand new car. Like 50 years that he's been standing in faith. And in the meantime, he kept on sowing cars. He kept on sowing things into people. I'm like, that's the kind of strength that I want. That's the kind of endurance that doesn't fall out of the sky. That is an inner strength. And I believe that God wants to release people like that into our communities. So as I wrap up, Romans 5:5, here's the rub. Hierdie toekomsverwagting sal ons nie teleurstel nie, want ons weet hoe lief God ons het. Hy het sy liefde mos in ons harte uitgestort deur sy Heilige Gees wat hy aan ons gegee het. In English says it like this. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Hope that comes from character. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. We are anchored in the love of God. That's why my hope is not in a thing. My hope is not in a healing. My hope is not in a breakthrough. My hope is in the love of God. And the love of God works out all things together for my good. All things. And it releases me to step out in faith and to trust God for breakthroughs and trust God for miracles. We needed a miracle for God to open up some seats on a plane for us. And it looked like we were only going to be able to fly on Wednesday because our visas were delayed. And God did a miracle for us. Open up some seats, and so we're flying tomorrow, thankful for that. But the travel agent said, literally said, Heinrich, I think you prayed open those seats because when I looked, they weren't there. I told her, look again. It's there. She looked at it, reserved it for us very quickly, and all of a sudden it was gone again. God did a miracle. But you know what? I decided, I told my family, we've got this crushed expectation, this thing. We were going to fly. It looks like we're not going to fly. We're putting our hope in God. We are trusting. We're putting out our faith, but if we don't go, we are putting our trust in God's timing. We're trusting him, and yet I'm still putting out my faith. And that's the balance that we need to live with. And we will not be able to do that unless we are anchored in the love of God. Hope that is anchored in Christ never disappoints. Never disappoints. So here's the summary for us. I believe that hope doesn't disappoint comes from peace with God through faith. So where's your faith this morning? Do you have peace with God? Are there circumstances that are challenging your faith? Bring it back and say, Jesus, thank you that I've got peace with you. Nothing will take that away. I believe that hope grows in a safe place of grace. You don't have to perform. You don't have to earn his grace. You can relax. I believe that hope grows in a place where we have fresh lenses on, fresh perspective on endurance. I believe that the challenges that many of you guys are going through are building strength of character in you that the world needs. And I believe that hope that doesn't disappoint is anchored in God's agape love for us. His love for us. So what I want us to do this morning is I want us to pray. We're going to break up into a few smaller groups. And in the intercession, we have these 7 points that came out. We're just going to take 5 minutes and pray into them. And I want us to pray hope over these situations. And on Monday, we spent an hour praying into these things. We want to pray for our Nomzamo community, Lwandle, Zola, the entire community there. Pray for hope for them. I'm sure you guys read the newspapers and how the violence is spilling over from there onto the N2. Another truck petrol bombed the other day. Another person murdered just on the N2. Why? Hopelessness leads to that kind of anger. Leads that kind of violence. We can pray hope over that community. We want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Dutch Reformed Church. They've got massive decisions to make around their position with regards to gender orientation. We want to pray for them for wisdom. We are praying for the business community, struggling businesses, that God will fill them with hope. We pray for children of God who have lost hope, that God would impart hope into their hearts. Praying for inspirational leaders in government, praying for the next generation of young people in our poor communities, and praying for single moms in the basin. And I would like us to stand, and I would like us to pray for these areas very quickly, just a prayer of hope. And this is the verse, Psalm 27, verse 7 to 8. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. So when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. That we can pray over each one of these areas. We can just flight those seven areas again. That we pray this, that people will hear God's voice calling them, saying to them, seek my face. He's saying to the broken, angry people in Nomzamo, Wandle, and Zola, seek my face. Your answer lies with me. He's saying to the businessman that's going bankrupt and doesn't know where his next check is going to come from to pay for his workers, seek my face. He's saying to the next generation of young people who are trapped in gangsterism and drug abuse, seek my face. He's saying to the single mom that doesn't know how she's going to provide for her kids, seek my face. Because the answer for our hope lies in his presence. And we as the people of God can dispense that hope. So let me pray for us. Father, thank you, Lord, as we come this morning, we come, God, as people, Lord, who understand that you are the spirit of all hope. We thank you, Lord, as we look to the empty cross, we look, Lord, to the empty grave, that there was a moment when all seemed lost. There was a moment, Lord God, when it seemed like there was no way out. There was a moment when it seemed that death had won. There was a moment when it seemed like heaven's plan had failed. And yet, Lord God, hope arose. Yet there was victory in spite of appearances, in spite of circumstances. And God, I thank you that we are a people of hope. I want to pray, Lord, for those in this room, God, who feel just utterly hopeless. Who feel as if, Lord, they've been disappointed by you. And those who feel like they're trapped in those chains of despair. And I pray that hope would fill their hearts. I pray, Lord God, that they would experience freedom, Lord, to embrace life again. Lord, as they respond to the cry of your heart that says, seek my face. Seek my face. Lord, we detach our hope this morning from things and from people. And I thank you for the endurance. God, I sense that there are athletes in this place, Lord, who have begun to sit on the sideline now because they've just grown weary and they've just given up hope. Maar Here, dat elkeen weer roep om die wedloop te kom hardloop, Here. Thank you for endurance, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for a spirit of prophetic insight, Lord, to see what you see. Because it is as we see what you see, Lord, that hope springs again in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for open eyes. Thank you for a spirit of revelation, Lord, for us to look at circumstances, to look at the people with whom we work, to look at our colleagues, to look at our family members through the eyes of hope. Lord, that where the world sees shame and disappointment and rejection, we can see life. We can see purpose. We can see destiny. God, we bless you. Thank you for an impartation of hope this morning. In the name of Jesus, we are going to take communion. I want to encourage you, the communion is on your left, my right. You would take the wine and the juice, take the bread. And as you do so, pray with the understanding that Jesus has overcome. And just take one of those areas and pray for all of them. Take one of them and pray the victorious sound of hope over those areas. Say, Jesus, thank you that you have died for us. You've died for the world. And you've overcome this world. And we release and we speak hope over those circumstances. So go and help yourself to some communion over there. Please pray a prayer of agreement with somebody else. If you don't know anyone, look for somebody else who looks like they don't know anyone. You can spread yourself out any place in the building. And then we spend a few minutes in prayer this morning.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.